भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
understood
that one is easily relieved from all sinful reactions by chanting the holy name of the Lord and chanting his qualities and activities. This is the only process recommended for relief from sinful reactions. Even if one chants the holy name of the Lord with improper pronunciation, he will achieve relief from material bondage if he chants without offense. Ajahnio, for example, was extremely sinful, but while dying, he merely chanted the holy name. And although calling his son, he achieved complete liberation because he remembered the name of Narayana. Purport. In the assembly of Raghunath Das Goswami's father, Haridas Thakur confirmed that simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one is liberated. Even if he does not chant completely, inoffensively. Smarta Brahmanas and Mayavadis do not believe that one can achieve liberation in this way. But the truth of Haridas Thakur's statement is supported by many quotations from Srimad Bhagavatam. In his commentary on this verse, for example, Srila Sridhar Goswami gives the following quotation. Sayam prathar grinan bhaktya dukha grama vimuchyate. If one always chants the holy name of the Lord with great devotion in the evening and in the morning, one can become freed from all material miseries. Another quotation confirms that one can achieve liberation if one hears the holy name of the Lord constantly, every day with great respect. Anudinam idam adharenash shmeivan. Another quotation says, Shravanam kirtanam jayam harir adbhutta karavana janma karma gunanam cha tararte kila cheshvitam. One should always chant and hear about the extraordinarily wonderful activities of the Lord. One should meditate upon these activities, and one should endeavor to please the Lord. Bhagavatam 11.3.27. Sridhar Swami also quotes from the Puranas, Papakshayas cha bhavati smaratam tam aharanisham. One can become free from all sinful reactions simply by remembering the lotus feet of the Lord day and night, aharanisham. Furthermore, he quotes from the Bhagavatam 6.3.31, Tasmat sankirtanam vishnor jagan mangalamam pankasam mahatam abhikauravya vidyaikantika nishkritam. All these quotations prove that one who constantly engages in chanting and hearing of the holy names, holy activities, name, form, and qualities of the Lord is liberated. As stated wonderfully in this verse, etavatalam agavnirat nirharanaya pumsam. Simply by uttering the name of the Lord, one is freed from all sinful reactions. The word alam, which is used in this verse, indicates that simply uttering the holy name of the Lord is sufficient. This word is used with different imports. As stated in the Amarkosha, the most authorized dictionary in the Sanskrit language, alam bhushana paryapti shakti varana vachakam. The word alam is used to mean ornament, sufficiency, power, and restraint. Here the word alam is used to indicate that there is no need of any other process, for the chanting of the holy name of the Lord is sufficient. Even if one chants imperfectly, one becomes free from all sinful reactions by chanting. This power of chanting the holy name was proved by the liberation of Ajahnio. When Ajahnio chanted the holy name of Narayana, he did not precisely remember the Supreme Lord. Instead, he remembered his own son. At the time of death, Ajahnio certainly was not very clean. Indeed, he was famous as a great sinner. Furthermore, one's physiological condition is completely disturbed at the time of death, and in such an awkward condition, it would certainly have been very difficult for Ajahnio to have chanted clearly. Nevertheless, Ajahnio achieved liberation simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord. Therefore, what is to be said of those who are not sinful like Ajahnio? It is to be concluded that with a strong vow, one should chant the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. For thus one will certainly be delivered from the clutches of Maya by the grace of Krishna. The chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is recommended even for persons who commit offenses, because if they continue chanting, they will gradually chant offenselessly. By chanting the Hare Krishna mantra without offenses, one increases his love for Krishna. As stated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prema Kumarto Mahan, one's main concern should be to increase one's attachment to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and to increase one's love for Him. In this regard, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur quotes the following verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 11.19.24. Evam dhanamer manushyanam udhavat mani vedina mai sanjayate bhakti konyo rato sya vashishyate. My dear Uddhava, the supreme religious system for human society is that by which one can awaken his dormant love for me. Commenting upon this verse, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes the word bhakti by saying, premai bhokta, kahanya artha asya. In the presence of bhakti, what is the necessity? Liberation. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also quotes this verse from the Padma Purana. Nama aparadha yuktanam nama yeva harantikam avishranti prayuktani tanyevartha karancha. Even if in the beginning one chants the Hare Krishna mantra with offenses, one will become freed from such offenses by chanting again and again. Papa kshayas cha bhavati smaratam tam aharanisham. One becomes free from all sinful reactions if one chants day and night, following the recommendation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who quoted the following verse, Hare nama, Hare nama, Hare nama eva kevala, kalo nasteva, 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 gatira mita. In this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the only means of deliverance is chanting the holy name of the Lord. There is no other way. There is no other way. There is no other way. If the members of the Krishna consciousness movement strictly follow this recommendation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, their position will always be secure. Translation. Therefore, it should be understood that one is easily relieved from all sinful reactions by chanting the holy name of the Lord and chanting of His qualities and activities. This is the only process recommended for relief from sinful reactions. Even if one chants the holy name of the Lord with improper pronunciation, he will achieve relief from material bondage if he chants without offenses. Ajamil, for example, was extremely sinful, but while dying, he merely chanted the holy name, and although calling his son, he achieved complete liberation because he remembered the name of Narayana. So the Yamadutas, they were very bewildered because they were following dharma. Everybody in the universe is under these codes given by Yamaraj, whether they know it or not, whether they believe it or not, or even whether they accept it or not. But these codes that Yamaraj gives, this is, human society follows them, human society prospers. Human society doesn't follow them, human society does not prosper. Very simple, very straightforward. So whatever religious system you follow, still, at the end of the day, it's Yamaraj who's going to be standing there and pointing the pious to the right and the impious to the left. It's not someone else. And the pious will be rewarded with the activities, and the impiety will be, punished. Doesn't matter if in one's own made-up or what one learned from one's parents, something is considered pious, and something is considered impious. But what is the piety and impiety according to Yamaraj? That is what actually will be judged on that day. So the Yamadutas, knowing this and having complete faith in this, then were a little bewildered, because here they had been performing their duties, and according to the rules, Ajamya was sinful. And now, according to the rules, they were catching him, and they were taking him to the lower planets to be judged, you know, fully by Yamaraj, exactly what he was going to be have to suffer. Then the Vishnu Dutas came when he chanted the Lord's holy name, because he was afraid. They had already tied the ropes, they were already taking him. And when he chanted Narayana's name, then the Vishnu Dutas came. So then they became bewildered. What is this? Who else is in charge here? We thought Yamaraj was the only one. Then they found out, no, the Supreme Lord. He's the ultimate religion. So here Yamaraj uses the term real religion. His real religion means the chanting of the holy name. This Bhagavad Dharma, that is actual religion. Because that religion actually gives us freedom from this material world. And that is just the side effect. That is not the most important element. The most important element is developing our love for Krishna and becoming resituated in our relationship with the Lord. That is the most essential element. And as a side thing, one is liberated from the material world. So then, Srila Prabhupada points out the story of Haridas Thakur, that when he was describing to Raghunath Das Goswami's father about how even chanting a Nama Vas, he's chanting the holy name, but not purely, then one will be liberated. So for the Smartas and the Mayavadis, this is very hard to digest. Because for them, they only know the material nature. There's the material nature, which is very great, and there is the Brahman. So Brahman gives no help, according to their philosophy. Brahman is just neutral. So that means this whole material ocean, the whole material, means one quarter of the cosmic manifestation, has to be overcome by our own endeavor. So a very formidable task. So because of this, the Mayavadis, for them the material world is very great. Though they say it is an illusion, so it's a contradiction. That's why it says in this age of hypocrisy. They're saying that it's very difficult to obtain the liberation. But at the same time, they say the material world is just illusion, so it's nothing. It's just a shadow, very easily overcome. But because of their total absorption in the material nature, and they have nothing else, if they think about anything, they're thinking about the material nature. Even they talk about Brahman, they're not saying, oh, just, you never see them go on and on for hours, oh, Brahman is wonderful, oh, Brahman is great, and it's fabulous, and this, because Brahman has no qualities. So all they talk about is the material energy and how terrible it is and how you should get out of it. So they talk about material energy. So because of this focus on the material energy becomes very, very prominent. And the Brahman, or liberation, becomes not so prominent, even though that's their essence of their philosophy. So it becomes very difficult. Because there's 1/10,000, the tip of the hair has to overcome 1/4 of the cosmic manifestation. So it's not an easy task. But Haridas Thakur said, just one chanting the holy name, one is liberated. One chanting. Like that. So when we see these verses that says, you know, one will be freed from material entanglement, liberated, situated beyond all the contamination, all these things. This is not the great aspect of devotional service. This is a side aspect. Just like you have a whole meal. And in a meal, so many preparations are there. I'll also put some salt and maybe some lemon on the side of the plate. So someone who thinks that salt and lemon is the most important element has missed the whole point. That just comes along with it. You had the meal, the plate is there, some salt, some lemon, a glass of water. That's always there. It goes without saying. So the liberation from material bondage is obtained by chanting the Lord's holy name, even if not purely. So this is a very important element to understand. Because otherwise, great sages and saintly persons don't understand this. They can't understand it. Because they do not know the Lord. Even though they talk about sat, they actually do not know what sat is. Because factually, everything is of the material nature and everything is given up. Everything will be left. And all there will be is Brahman. There will be nothing else. So it means all their processes, everything is left. So all this must have some material contamination to it. Therefore, they have no understanding of what is there in the spiritual realm. So now Yamaraj is saying that this is the ultimate religious principle, that the chanting of the holy name, this is the religious principle. So religious principle, religion means what is one's lifestyle, how one enacts one's life, how one does things, one's values, one's method. Whatever one does, that is the religion. Right? If one's religion is sense gratification, one will be making a great endeavor for attaining the goals or the fruits of one's religion. Right? And those things that will be bad for sense gratification, those are rejected. Right? Those are given up. So we see in chanting the holy name, it is a complete religion. It is all-encompassing. One can chant the holy name and just be absorbed in chanting, nothing else. And as in previous verses, it mentions the Lord will take care. Vishwadutas will take care. Even in great calamity, world war, or all so many different things. You know, if there's 1K, you have 2Ks, whatever, how many Ks you have. It will still, the calamity will be survived by the devotees. Because it's not meant for the devotees. The devotees are meant to chant the holy name. That is their religion. So by doing this, Krishna will protect them. So this is the important. They're chanting, they're eating, sleeping, in some place. Now, of course, this does not necessarily mean all material opulences. If we're interested in material facilities, opulences in that, that are not necessarily, they are dovetailed in the Lord's service, but they are according to our desire. Then we must take into the considerations the realm of the religious principles. That must also be there. Then if we want to be a grihasta, there are rules for it. Because in the Bhagavad Dharma, you just need to chant Hare Krishna. You don't need a place, means plenty of trees are there. You know, you don't need a pillow, your arm is there. You don't need cloth, it's just laying on the road, you just pick it up. You know, like this. So if you want these things, you need a place, you need some facilities, so many other things, then there are rules how to follow that. And those rules come from God. He gives religion, and only He gives religion. So this is why it is very, very difficult to understand. Yamaraj points out that he and 11 other persons understand this point. Is how do you balance religion and real religion? Because everyone is under the control of religion. But as soon as one takes up the chanting of the holy name, then one is also under the protection of the real religion. And as one takes full shelter of the holy name, then that totally is one's religion. That's it. There's no need of anything else. As soon as one becomes situated in offenseless chanting, then all the rules and regulations of dharma have no meaning anymore. They don't have any meaning anymore. It doesn't matter. But until we come to that platform, then we must live our life according to the rules and regulations that are given by Krishna and the Acharyas. So this balance becomes very, very difficult. Because we chant Hare Krishna, we don't care for the rules, at the same time as we're bound by so many rules. And we ourselves expect so many rules to be followed. So how does that work? Only when dharma is engaged in the service of the Supreme Lord, then it takes on the qualities of real dharma. Because anything in touch with the Lord becomes purified, becomes sanctified, becomes transcendental. So here Yamaraj is pointing out the glories of the holy name. That this, no matter what the age, the holy name is the essence of the process. In the Satya Yuga, even though they're meditating, they're chanting the holy name. Dhyana means chanting and meditating. That's what it actually means. Krishna points out in the Gita that the advanced level of yoga is chanting and remembering. That is samadhi. Dhyana and samadhi. These are remembering the Lord and chanting the Lord's name. When we're doing the lower stages, then we must perform prescribed duties. We must still perform the activities of the regular dharma. With the purpose of attaining to real dharma. Then, in the Treta Yuga, we perform sacrifices. And the whole essence of the sacrifices are the mantras that are being chanted. And the essence of these mantras is the Lord's holy name. So again, without the Lord's holy name, the sacrifice doesn't work. In the Dwapara Yuga, one worships the deity. And in this time, when one is worshipping, then the holy name of the Lord must be chanted. Whenever you're offering something to deity, then the Lord's name is being chanted. Everything is being chanted. It must be done. Otherwise it has no meaning. The deity worship does not have any meaning. And so in the Kali Yuga, where there's no qualification for great meditation, great sacrifices, or great worship, then just the holy name. Just the holy name. That is the prominent feature. That's all there is. So Yamaraj is pointing out that even in dharma, the material dharma, still the holy name is the essence of it. And so, therefore, the perfection of human life is to chant this holy name. Someone who does is not under the jurisdiction of this material world. The devotee is not bound by this material world. At the time of death, the devotee is chanting the holy name. He will not see the Yamadutas. Right? They've already learned here. They've been instructed, fortunately. And so we do not have to worry about them. We just have to worry about trying to chant the holy name. Any questions on this?
What is the difference between a person at the time of death? One person who is simply adopted the real religion, and another person who is adopted both. He still has his desires in the material world, some desires, and still is taking the process of becoming Hare Krishna.
The time of death. Means, basically, as far as the Yamadutas go, there'll be no difference. No Yamadutas are there. Because Yamaraj judges those who are following pious and impious activities. If you're pious, see, it's like there's different faces. We generally think of Yamaraj, only his terrible face. Because the Vaitarani river there can manifest in different ways. If you are pious, then you come there, there's a nice boat there, it's very pleasant and wonderful, the atmosphere is very nice, there's people to help you into the boat, take you across, and all these different things. And then you get to Yamaraj, and then it's worked out what are your pious deeds, and then you go to that planet to enjoy the results. But if one is sinful, then one comes to the Vaitarani River, and then one finds it's full of, crocodiles and all kinds of fish with razor sharp fins and teeth and like that, and they bite you and that, or you know, the boat's on the other side, you know, where it's got a hole in it, or you got to row it yourself, you know, and they're all coming and giving trouble. And then if, you know, more sinful, then there's no boat. You know, you just have to go across on your own. It's, you know, every man for himself. And then it manifests not just water, it's full of all kinds of pus and mucus and stoolie, all kinds of stuff and that, and one gets stuck in there. You know, especially if one can, does not respect superiors and like that, then one gets, one ends up in there until the end of, you know, the millennium. One gets stuck for quite a while in there. And the fish that are down there are not overly pleasant. So he takes care of anyone pious or impious. It's not that they all necessarily get a bad experience. In this age, generally it's not so good. But in other ages, but he deals with them all. But for the devotee, then the Lord himself personally deals, and he takes care. That's what he's taking care of. So as far as devotional service goes, that will always go on. You can always chant, you can always hear, that can always happen, no matter what is the difficulty or calamity. We must, that is the essence that is there. Because what is gained or lost is what is external to us. The body may be gained or lost, or facility for the body may be gained or lost. This is what is there. So according to our attachments, this may be a great calamity or not. And for Haridas Thakur being beaten in the 22 marketplaces, it was not a great calamity. For us, we might find that to be a difficulty. So, but the essential point always remains of chanting the holy name. So there's no difference. Someone who's on a very advanced platform, especially if they've come to the Brahma-Bhuta platform, and through the process of devotional service, then there's attachment for Krishna. So then they will appear in the Lord's pastimes, the Boma Lila, and there perfect their devotional activities. And if they're still very attached to their material situations, then they will take birth in a situation in which they'll be able to fulfill those desires, in such a way that they will lose those desires, and then they can come back and get very serious about devotional activities again. Or they may be born in the family of devotees. So these options are there, basically. The heavenly planets, then back in aristocratic families, or in the families of devotees, or in Boma Vrindavan. So basically that's the situation we have. Unless your attachments are, you know, depends on the attachments. We see that Bharat Maharaj took birth as a deer. But we see in there, there's no description of Yamadutas or anything. Just next Krishna arranged that he next appeared in the form of a deer. Because Yamaraj can only perform his duties if Krishna sanctions him. And then the modes of nature are going to do it. Yamaraj himself also is not the doer. He is simply an instrument for getting it done. So even without him, Krishna can sanction the future body, and the modes of nature can carry it out. So that goes on. It's the mechanics of it works. But those are the options. If they too attached to material facility, the heavenly planets, not so attached, then devotees' families, and detached, then Boma Vrindavan.
What I read and understood about the English planet is like even King Yudhishthira Maharaj also went to the English planet, something like every Dharmatma has to go to the English planet. Like even though it's a devotee or non devotee, if you're a pure devotee, then you'll go straight. The Krishna will take care of you. If you are, as you said, if you offenselessly chant, then it's good. If you do offense, then they have to go to the English planet. The southern gate, where their credit and debit is taken care of.
I've never heard of it, because you don't see it described anywhere. Other than that. See, they're taking the pastimes, performing activities of persons who are, you know, doing these pious activities. But you must understand that the Mahabharata is written for those who are attached to the material facilities. Therefore, within all this nice story of 100,000 verses, then Vyasadeva has conveniently put 700 verses to give what's the actual essence. But those 700 are only being read because they happen to come in the middle of 100,000. So we see that in there the presentation may be different than that of the Bhagavatam. So we understand the pastimes of the Pandavas from the Bhagavatam. We can read the Mahabharata, but we have to see the Mahabharata from the angle of the Bhagavatam. Otherwise we're not actually seeing. Because the point is the living entity must perform his prescribed duties. If he wants to work with the material world, he has to deal with prescribed duties. And those prescribed duties give results, positive and negative results. So here we see from the Pandavas and others' example how to perform those prescribed duties in this material world in Krishna consciousness. But for those who are only interested in pious activities, they want to know what's going on with that aspect. But for those who are the devotees, they don't worry about these aspects. Does that make some sense?
Not exactly, because when I read Bhagavad Puran, it was clearly mentioned that from the southern gate, even all dharmatmas have to go. Even any path, even Yudhishthira.
Yes, it says dharmatmas. So dharma means those who are following dharma. But here, Yudhishthira is, and in Yamaraj is saying those who follow the real dharma. So they're two different people. This is why only 12 people in the universe understand it. Is because they understand the difference between dharma and real dharma. Just like Prabhupada says initiation and Vedic initiation, you know, and real initiation, which means Pancharatrik or Bhagavad initiation. He makes a distinction between them. So like the Brahma Gayatri that we have is not real initiation. That's just Vedic. That's then one can perform sacrifice. But real initiation that takes one back to Godhead is the Pancharatrik and the holy name. So a distinction is made between the two. So all dharmatmas, they may have to go through that gate. That's not a problem. But the point is those who are devotees of the Lord, they never see. Because to go through that gate, you have to somehow, you know how to get there. Someone has to show you. So the Yamadutas, they're the ones who know. But here it's said, Yamaraj himself says that those who chant, they shouldn't go. They'll never see. It says in the Vishnu Dutas and the Supreme Lord will take care of one. Even in great calamity, Prabhupada mentioned in the previous purport, the devotees many times are worried about a world war. But he says the Lord will take care, the Vishnu Dutas and the Lord himself will take care. So the Yamadutas are not in the picture. Okay. So it's not important. Yes.
You were mentioning how Yamaraj set the course of religion. How does he communicate that to the mass of people? What shastra does that come to?
No. He doesn't. He's not the one giving them. He's the one that does the judging according to.
Oh,
it means the codes of religion come down from Krishna. Krishna originally speaks them. Mm-hmm. He speaks them to Brahma, okay. And then Brahma speaks them to others. And then in this way we get so many of the different codes. So the main being Manasamhita, Mano in this case meaning Lord Brahma. He is speaking. That Manasamhita is Bhrigu Muni speaking the instructions that he has heard from Lord Brahma. And then as it comes down, then others are speaking. Parasara then also gives, you know, he compiles Yajnavalkya. So for us, these are the three main. Now there's, I think, 20-25 main Dharma Shastras, but we mainly follow these three. So according to the Dharma Shastras, that's what Yamaraj will, how he will judge. Means he sees. Means a pious or impious person who's not a devotee, Yamaraj is the one who's going to be the judging. Yes?
Isn't it that the Dharma that is being referred to here isn't really applicable on Kali Yuga. We follow.
Oh no, it's applicable.
Well, we follow Tantra Triki Vidhi, which I guess that's kind of correlates with the Vedic Dharma. I mean, but it's specifically for Kali Yuga, recognizing Shudra Sambhava, and this is what I.
It gives the framework for that. It means that you have the Bhagavad Dharma. Then, if one cannot maintain oneself completely on that, in other words, if you're not on the Brahma Buddha platform, then the next recommended level is the Pancharatra, the sadhana bhakti. Then, that's basically most all the activities. But in the performance of our prescribed duties, it doesn't get into so much detail there. It's mainly dealing with our sadhana. It means, in other words, what we're going to do up through breakfast and then in the evening. And then during the day, then we take support of the Vedic. You know, all the samskaras and things, marriage, this, that. That gives all the details there. The Pancharatra will expect that that's done. But we will take help from the Vedics there. But only according to what the acharyas give us. Like that. So it's always applicable. It always works. It means just like in Satya Yuga, you put your hand in a fire, you get burned. In Kali Yuga, you put your hand in fire, you get burned. It's always the same. The difference being in that the other ages, that not following the Dharma, because that is so involved with the process, then there will be a problem. Like you're doing one of those big yajnas. If one syllable is chanted wrong, and some of those yajnas can go on for 9 months, 1 year, 12 years, one syllable goes wrong and the whole time the whole thing's finished. So there's not a whole lot of redemption there. But in the Kali Yuga, the chanting of the holy name, even if there's laxity in these other aspects, for the devotee, things go on. Krishna is there through the modes of nature. He may reward or punish the devotee. But it goes on. But for the non-devotees, if they don't follow the dharmas given in the Dharma Shastras, they go to hell. It's not that they can follow something else. It's always there. Just Kali Yuga is meant for that. Kali Yuga is for those who want to break. So in other ages, there's not great facilities. You know what I mean? You can live out in the jungle somewhere and be sinful. So it doesn't give great facility for, living in the modern lifestyle like that. A few places here and there, Ravana and his kingdom, Hiranyakashipu and his, like that. But even still, they were following Dharma. Though they were not at all following religious means, transcendental religious principles. They were not interested in Vishnu. But he was basically following the basic dharmas and all that. But in this age, then, the important thing is the chanting of the holy name. Then the Pancharatra is supported by that, because the Pancharatric mantra is known as Nam-Atmika. It means the holy name is the life of the Pancharatric mantras. And then, with the Pancharatra, then we actually have the qualification to follow the Vedic. So as we become situated nicely in chanting and Pancharatra, then the Vedic culture that supports it becomes very easy. And as we're not situated so nicely in the sadhana and the chanting, it's more difficult. But even if we don't situated nicely in the Vedic, if we're situated nicely in the chanting of the holy name, perfection is there. Does that make some sense there?
I mean, the Vedic Dharma is a much higher standard than people in Kali Yuga are able to maintain. My understanding is the Tantra Tripa video was specifically adjusted for Kali Yuga, as you said, with the Yuga Dharma and Bhagavad Gita. But that it's not really so possible for people in Kali Yuga to
Means the, how you say, following the Vedic Dharma as a process, as the main process of elevation, is not possible. Because then all the fine rituals and details, you can't even get the ingredients, let alone quite qualified people to do it. But the essential principles of the Vedic Dharma, those are the same as Pancharatra. Pancharatra is higher than the Vedic Dharma. And Bhagavat is higher than that. So the lowest on the totem pole is the Bhagavat. I mean, it's the lowest is the Vedic. So if we find that that is very difficult, then we can understand what our position is. So it's only by the grace of the holy name that we can actually follow Pancharatra. Because the standards of cleanliness and that in the Pancharatra are even higher than that in the Vedic. So it's by chanting the holy name, therefore we develop the brahminical qualities, that we get Pancharatric initiation, and that gives us the second birth, or the third birth, and in that is included the second birth, the Vedic. So it becomes, it's a very, one, it's, how do you say, means we generally think of the Vedic culture as so many rituals, but actually that's not. It means going through the Manusamhita, basically the essence is respect for authority, cleanliness, and control of the senses. And so great detail is put in dealing with respect of authority and respect of others, just who's more or less respectable according to what reasons, so that one knows how to judge and never insult persons by not behaving properly. That one must be grateful. When you gained anything from someone, one must be grateful for that. Otherwise, then that's not, you know, nobody wants such a person. And the senses must be controlled. Therefore, the lifestyle that helps us control the senses, the pure lifestyle, that is recommended. So those activities that will keep us pure. And then, if one wants to follow the varnic activities and the ashram activities, then there's certain things that by following that makes it a lot easier. It means that the brahmacharya is respectful, he's humble. So it's much easier to control the senses because there's no great ego. He performs menial service that also keeps him humble, and it purifies the heart so that he is able to actually understand knowledge. He must gain knowledge so that he understands what is the whole process, why he's doing the things that he's doing. And then he must make the endeavor to control the senses. So when those others are in place, controlling the senses are very easy. Then, in such a trained condition, someone with controlled senses, with knowledge, with a, you know, proper service attitude and humble, then they can enter into the grihastha ashram and function, make it function properly, and train their children, and help train others. So it's a very natural thing, is that if you want something done, there's prerequisites. So it just points out the essential prerequisites, how these things function. So if one understands that those principles are always valuable. So the Vedic Dharma is always valuable in that way. Some of the little technical details that in this situation we do this particular yoga, we just chant Hare Krishna. Point is, the sacrifice must be done. It mentions there that of all the members of the society, the Brahmin is the best, because he knows Brahman, he knows the Lord. Then of all the activities of a Brahmin, the best is chanting. It says even if he doesn't know anything else, he doesn't know all the activities or this or that, if he chants, and that's his main focus, he gets all the benefit of studying all the Vedas and performing all sacrifices. And he also gets the same benefit by, in dealing with others, he's always respectful to elders and to spiritual leaders. So simply by these two things, then he gets all perfection. So that's the essence of the Manusamhita. So we see that same essence applies in this age. We respect the Vaishnavas, you know, and we chant the holy name. And the Vaishnava is the best of the Brahmins, because he realizes what the Brahminical knowledge and culture is for serving the Lord. So there's no contradiction. Just one has to know what is of importance in the Dharma Shastras, in the Pancharatra, that supports properly the chanting of the holy name. and then what things are meant for the time and circumstances of a Vedic age. But the essence and the main principles, they're no different in any age. Because the Dharma Shastras don't get into the nitty-gritty so much of what is the real details of what the different varnas and ashrams do. They give the main principles. But the real details of the Grihastha Ashram is given in the Brahmanas. And it gives all the rituals and exactly what they must do and all these different things. Like, every day means every day the Grihastha has to perform a yajna. For breathing, because he kills living entities. For walking, he kills living entities. Starting fire, he kills living entities. Grinding things and drinking water. Because all this kills living entities. So there's a yajna they must do. So that's not in the Mana Samhita, may say one should do that. But it doesn't give details. That's in the Brahmanas. So the real heavy stuff that can't be followed in this age are all in the Brahmanas. And so, but the essential point is that there must be sacrifice done for this. So we chant the holy name. We can't not chant the holy name and think that everything's going to be alright. We have to chant the holy name, worship the Lord. Then all these things that are there are counteracted automatically. Like that. So we should understand when we say we chant Hare Krishna, we don't care for the rules. We have to actually understand mechanically how that works. Otherwise, we may misapply. We may misapply. It means that does it, I chant Hare Krishna, I don't have to take care of the wife and kids. I chant Hare Krishna, I don't have to take prasadam. I chant Hare Krishna, I don't have to dress properly. So we have to understand how that, not chant, how chanting Hare Krishna, what it does and what it doesn't do. Then the whole process becomes very, very clear. Then we see that all these things back up, these essential principles. Respect, cleanliness, control of the senses, and knowledge. Right? And that's what Krishna is saying in the Gita. Perform your prescribed duties in knowledge, right? Without attachment, right? So one has to be detached, and for Krishna. So all these things means, for Krishna means him and all the authorities that are there to give this to us. So the respective authority and the ultimate authority of the Lord. The control of the senses means we're doing it for Krishna, not for ourselves. The cleanliness that is there, Krishna is always recommending perform these activities, you know, in the mode of goodness. So then it's the same. There's no difference. Therefore, Prabhupada points out that the essence of the Vedas is always remember Krishna, never forget. And that's every literature. It's just one has to know how to take from there what it's that essence. So if one understands from the viewpoint of the Bhagavad, then one can take that essence from any Shastra. But if not, if we take the Shastra on its own, it becomes bewildering. Because each one is made for a different time, place, and circumstance. A different kind of person. You know, different situation. Because it mentions in the beginning of the Dharma Shastra that all the Dharma Shastras, even though they seem inconsistent, they're all correct. Because they're dealing with a particular person. And for him, this is how it has to be done. Because he wants that fruit. Right? Like a person who wants to eat meat, then they give a rule for that. You take an animal, a black goat, at midnight on the Amavasya, and you whisper a mantra in his ear, you know, Mangsha, means this life I kill you, next life you kill me. So now, for someone of that caliber, the Shastra will say that. Because that's his desire. He's going to eat meat anyway. So better he regulates it and follows some rule and at least doesn't commit sinful activities. He's bound. He'll end up as a goat his next life. And that goat will end up as the person to kill him. But he doesn't suffer in hell for that. He maintains the proper thing. He learned that from Guru. He's following the Shastra. He's, you know, follows the example of the sadhus. he respects authority, like this. So all these elements are there, essential elements of the transcendental platform. So then with time he figures out, hey, wait a minute. If this life I'm killing you and then I'm enjoying, the next life you're killing me, what's the benefit? Then he'll give that up and search for the higher paths on Krishna's path. But the principle on Krishna's path is the same all the way down. Then he'll come to a higher level. But the principles are all in place. So depending upon what is your material desire or spiritual desire, then these same eternal principles are then given in a covered, in a open way or a slightly covered or very covered way. So they follow these things and they become perfect. It means over a long period of time. Because perfection means eventually then, because of the, they come in contact with the bona fide spiritual master. Then the perfection of all that respect for their parents and respect for the teacher and respect for the scriptures actually then has transcendental meaning. Because then they see it in relationship to the Supreme Lord. So it's all these things are recommended. It's followed. So it's good for him. But another Dharma Shastra is dealing at a different level, then we'll say that one should not do this. Like Manasamhita says, one who is kind to the animals. Means he doesn't do animal sacrifice, he doesn't bother the animals. In other words, he's compassionate. He lets others, you know, he leaves other living entities alone. Then they'll get the full fruits of chanting the holy name. Like that. And that's what it says also in the Bhagavatam. Prahlad Maharaj is speaking, you know, that performing devotional activities and kind to all living entities, compassionate to all living entities. So we understand that compassion meaning in the aspect of preaching, but at least compassion in just being nice. Or lower level compassion meaning not killing them. So you can see it on all these different levels, depending upon where you want to see it, depending upon our realization. So they're all correct, because they're correct for a particular person. So for us, then we take what's correct for us is what the Bhagavatam says and how our acharyas have commented on that and given that to us. That becomes our Dharma Shastra. And we must view all other shastras from that vantage point. Then it has some meaning. Otherwise, it doesn't so much. Is that having any? Yeah. Okay, so we'll end here.